meeting you, which I believe is most to you, but if not, my name is Connor Tate. I have the privilege of serving as one of the guest speakers here and one of the guest preachers for the Greater Dayton Association of Baptists here in the area that Dayton Chinese Christian Church is a part of. So I get to go around at different churches from time to time and fill in and substitute, preach God's word. It's always something I enjoy. So we're going to continue on through the book of Amos today. We're getting close to the end here. I think we've only got maybe three or four messages left in the book. So really over the next couple months, we'll be wrapping it up. Hopefully it's been enriching for you. Hopefully it's been something that's grown you in your discipleship and in your walk with Christ. But nevertheless, we're going to continue on in chapter 7 today. So I will be preaching verses 1 through 9 this month, and then when I come back next month, I'll be preaching the rest of the chapter, and then Zechariah will be back for chapter 8. Okay. And so let's go ahead and read our text, and then I'm going to pray over our time. So read out the beginning of chapter 7, verse 1. The Word of God says, "This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, he was forming locusts when the latter growth was just beginning to sprout. And behold, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. When they had finished eating the grass of the land, I said, 'O Lord God, please forgive. How can Jacob stand? He is so small.' The Lord relented concerning this. 'It shall not be,' said the Lord. This is what the Lord God showed me. Behold, the Lord God was calling for a judgment by fire, and it devoured the great deep and was eating up the land. Then I said, 'O Lord God, please cease. How can Jacob stand? He is so small.' The Lord relented concerning this. 'This also shall not be,' said the Lord God. This is what he showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, 'Amos, what do you see?' And I said, 'A plumb line.' Then the Lord said, 'Behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword.'" Let's go ahead and take a moment and just pray over our text and our time today. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've made today. Thank you for your word and every portion of it. I just pray that you meet with us this morning. I pray that your spirit would be present and working in our hearts, that you'd encourage us, that you'd challenge us, that you'd spur us on to deeper and greater love and good works. That what we're struggling with in our own lives, that you would give us hope, Lord God, that we will, through your grace, find victory. And any as we read earlier, any suffering, Lord, that we're experiencing in our lives right now, that you give us joy and peace in that suffering, knowing that it's for our growth, it's for our character, and it's for your glory. And so, Lord, bless our time, and Lord, minister to us, that we might go forth this week and be a brighter light for you, Lord God, to a lost world that we live in. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. July 17th, 2021. What's the significance of that date, you might be wondering as I say that? That's the date of my son's birthday. It's also the date that I officially became a parent, so to speak. For those who have children, you know that while parenting is one of the most rewarding tasks a person can experience, it's also one of the most challenging. As I reflect back on my 3.5 years of parenting, my son's 3.5, I at times find myself saying and thinking about how I often use a lot of very typical and common parenting phrases. Expressions like, "Make sure to eat your vegetables, Jackson. Brush your teeth before bed, Jackson," are often common in our house. However, in the context of discipline, I often also can find myself saying, "Jackson, you crossed the line when you did that." The idea being that some behaviors he does can be chalked up to youthful indiscretion or immaturity, but others simply cannot. There are some things that, if committed or omitted, simply cross the line. We're going to see that in our text today, brothers and sisters. God's people, Israel and Judah, have turned their back on God and committed idolatry with idols. They've begun to embrace and practice the rituals and customs of the surrounding pagan nations and have forsaken their Redeemer, the Lord, Yahweh. In other words, their persistence in sin and rebellion has caused them to cross God's line. We're going to study today how God deals with his people when this takes place. But before we go too much further, let's stop and provide a brief review of some background information regarding the person and history during the time of Amos, the author of this book. And so we've said time after time that this book was written and it's taking place in roughly the mid-700s before the birth and coming of Jesus Christ. The kingdoms have recently been split, Israel to the north and Judah to the south. So the people of God have been divided, okay, and are living in two really competing kingdoms now. Jeroboam II is reigning in Israel, and King Uzziah is reigning in Judah to the south. It's a time of great post-war and societal flourishing. People are beginning to improve their economic situation. There's a little bit more rest and peace amongst the societies and culture at the time. But at the same time, there's a lot of political turmoil, political and ethnic animosity. The kingdoms, like I said, are competing against one another. The different tribes are experiencing a lot of divisions and animosity. And with that, all of that has really brewed a sense of complacency, a sense of spiritual just autonomy and independence, a non-reliance on God. They've begun to just forsake him and do their own thing. Our friend Amos, he was largely an ordinary and common man. He was a shepherd, so he would have worked hard. He would have worked out in the fields. He oversaw and trained other shepherds. He was from Tekoa, a small city 10 to 11 miles south of Jerusalem, which was in Judah. And so Tekoa, as we see right here, is in Judah, and that would have been very significant because he's called mainly to preach to the northern kingdom of Israel, and so they would have not taken his message very well. Hence his name. Often scholars believe that his name Amos, meaning burden or load, was given to him because of how burdening and difficult it was going to be to do his ministry that God called him to do. The structure of the book is that, as we've seen, the message to the nations and Israel, chapter 1 and 2, the message to Israel and its leaders, chapter 3 through 6. Now we're going to get into these visions that God is giving Amos, okay? And these visions are going to depict both judgment and mercy, both judgment and mercy. We're going to look at that today in greater detail. So as we've seen in chapters 1 through 2, the Israelites, they would have received the word about the judgment to the nations very well. But what they didn't realize is that God was going to use that judgment of the nations and their sins to use it as a basis for why it was appropriate to also judge Israel and Judah. In chapters 3 through 5, we see Israel, God begin to speak to Israel and Judah and tell them about their sin, tell them about their rebellion, tell them about how it's needful and good for them to turn back to Yahweh, come back to God, stop forsaking their Redeemer, and come to God. So the big idea I want to present today in the first 9 verses of chapter 7 is this. God displays mercy in delaying his judgment until his appointed time has been reached. God displays mercy in delaying his judgment until his appointed time has been reached. I want to walk through our message today in 3 parts. We're going to look at the visions that God gives Amos that are symbolic. We'll talk about that in a moment. We're going to look at the intercessory prayers that Amos petitions on behalf of his people. And then we're going to look at 3, God's merciful response to all this. The is a merciful response of relent. Okay? So that's how we're going to divide up our text today. So let's first look at the symbolic visions in our text today. Okay? So let's just talk about visions in general. Okay? First of all, God often uses visions and symbols to relay a message to his people. Okay? He often uses illustrations, right? We use that in our culture today. Sometimes if we want to express a point, maybe we tell a story that has a teaching within it. Maybe we use an example or an illustration to get a point across. And that's what God is doing in this, okay? Sometimes God would go as far as to have his messengers speak or even act out these visions to convey truth to his people.